Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
And I pray, Father, that as we turn to the pages of scripture, make this so clear to us that our hearts will be drawn with deep conviction to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to begin with a portion of scripture, John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 22, Jesus makes an extraordinary claim, and it is true to this day. John chapter 5 verse 22, Jesus says, "The Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son." So Jesus carries with him the legitimate, exclusive, all authority and power to pass judgment on all of creation. He has the ultimate authority to decide who is rewarded and who is not rewarded. The ultimate authority to punish and to reward lies with Jesus. All kinds of judgment are with Jesus. In verse 27, the scriptures say that he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. And that is very key for us. Let's not just brush over it when you read the scripture. He says he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man really speaks normally about the humanity of Jesus. Normally about the humanity of Jesus. And as the Son of Man, Jesus took upon himself our sins. He was beaten, was bruised, he was crucified, he was killed, he was buried. But on the third day, the Son of Man rose from the grave. And because of his resurrection from the grave, the Bible tells us that God has appointed him as judge of the world to come. Read with me in the book of Acts chapter 17 and verse 31. It says, "For God has appointed, has set a day for judging the world with justice by the man he has what? Appointed." By the man he has appointed. "And he proved to everyone who this man is by raising him from the..." Jesus, the one who laid down his life for you, is the same one who is coming back to judge us. Because he came in the form of a man. He experienced all that men could experience, yet was without sin. He suffered your suffering, paid that price, and he conquered the grave. Now, he is appointed as judge over all. I want you to see this with me. Jesus is the eternal judge. Now, I know when we speak about judgment, many things go through our hearts and our heads. Sometimes we're scared, we're uncertain about this, uncertain about that. But I pray that by the time you're done with this, you will have such courage and hope to put your faith in the person of Jesus. I want to show you again, Revelation 1 and 17 to 18. When Jesus is speaking to the apostle John, he says, "Fear not, I am the first and I am the last. And I am alive. Or rather, I am the living one. I died and I'm alive and I live forever. And I hold the keys of death and what? Hades." Jesus proclaims his exclusivity as the supreme of all. By holding the keys of death and Hades, he's really speaking of the fact that judgment now is in my hand over all things. Jesus has no rival as a judge. All authority is with him. Ephesians 1 tells us that God raised Christ from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he raised him and seated him in the highest place in heaven at the right hand of God, far above every rule, every authority, every power, every dominion, above every name that can ever be named. And that guy who considers himself greater than Jesus will bow one day to that name. Hallelujah. We're not talking about a judge from Buganda Road Court. Because the Buganda Road Court judge is going to be judged by the supreme judge called Jesus. Everyone one will come before this judge, the eternal judge. His name is Jesus Christ. So I want to draw your hearts to trust in Jesus Christ. His supremacy is clear and evident. He is coming back. Acts tells us there is a day that has been appointed. Christ, who rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, is coming back again. Not to lay down his life for our sins, but to judge the living and the dead. All who will be alive in that day, you need to be aware that there will be a serious judgment or execution of God's wrath in that time and thereafter. So I pray that this message finds room in your heart today. Yes, I agree that there's uncertainties in our hearts. I agree that we are scared sometimes. I agree that we are afraid and we are wondering, will God really find me worthy to? And yes, I agree. We all have those thoughts. But I want to anchor your faith in the truth of what we're going to learn today. The question I want to ask us as we carry on is, what are the judgments that Jesus has to execute? What are his judgments? What are the things he's going to judge? What are the things that he's going to reward? Or what are the things he's going to punish? Three things that I'll walk away from this stage, and I pray that you will walk to the judge himself. As the supreme, not supreme judge, as the eternal judge, Jesus is going to punish all evil. All rebellion, all wickedness, all lawlessness, all demonic powers, all the powers and principalities and dominions in the wicked realms of heaven, all people and humanity that have rebelled against God will be punished. We are kind of experiencing a bit of a punishment today because of sin. But there is coming a day of reckoning. There's coming a day of judgment. When we say day, it is not a 24-hour clock. It's a period of time when God is going to exclusively judge the world. And he will judge evil. I want you to go with me to the book of Revelation in your Bible. Don't look at me. I said go to the book of what? Go to the book of Revelation. When you read the book of Revelation, starting at chapter 6 all the way to 18, you'll come across the different judgments that Christ is executing over the earth. One of the key phrases and verses in chapter 6 is, "And I saw the Lamb opening up one of the seals." Therefore telling us that Christ is the one who was executing judgment on the nations, executing judgment on the kingdom of darkness. He is the eternal judge that I've just spoken to you about. We see plagues go out. We see the dead, the angels of death, the angel of death going out and killing people. People dying of hunger, famine, pestilence. People dying of various things. The seas and the lakes and the rivers are turning into blood. We hear of wars and people are dying endlessly. Stars are falling from heaven. Mountains are being cast from heaven. Bowels of God's wrath are being poured out on people. There's a lot of wrath. And that's the season we call the season of tribulation, great tribulation. But I want to draw your attention to about just three portions in the book of Revelation to anchor in this truth about God judging and punishing all evil. We come across the adulterous woman and the Babylonian city. All of that represents a world order that has been established on evil and wickedness. Political systems that are furthering the cause of the kingdom of darkness. Economic systems that are enhancing the wicked world to thrive. Socio-political policies that are allowing for demonic things to happen where we are. And let me tell you, some of these things have already begun to happen. They are. People are agreeing to evil as good. It's happening. But there's coming a day. At the opening of chapter 19, we are told that God destroys that entire system. But I want to take you to the actual battle that takes place. When you go down to verse 11, it says, "Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war." This is Jesus Christ judging. He is exacting the penalty on the kingdom of darkness. He is exacting the penalty of sin. He is banishing and punishing the wicked people. That's what he's saying. And he is judging. But he says he makes war. War against the kingdom of darkness. He's fighting them. His eyes are like flame, a flame of fire. On his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but he himself. 13 is very key. He is clothed in a robe dipped in blood. Before even ever writing this sermon or considering this sermon, I've been asking myself the power of the blood of Jesus. Why the blood of Jesus? And I'm just trying to think that through. And then as I was contemplating this portion, it occurred to me, when Jesus was going to wage war against the earth, the reason he put on his robe dipped with blood is that the blood that he shed is testimony against the rebellious. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. It is the testimony of the blood of Jesus. Christ is saying, I shed blood. I was humiliated to redeem this earth that you are fighting me against. I shed my blood to pay for the forgiveness of your sins. And now you rally behind me. My blood testifies against you. And tells the kingdom of darkness, by this blood, I purchased this world. So he wages war in righteousness. There is no excuse. 15 says, from his mouth comes a sharp sword. Speaking of judgment. Guys, Jesus, the blessed one, the savior of the world, the redeemer of mankind, the deliverer of our souls, is the very one coming back to judge us again. Because he has already walked the path that he has called us not to walk in. I'm going to skip over to verse 19 of Revelation 19. I want you to see this. So Christ came out to wage war. The Antichrist, the beast, and the false prophet, and the world that had rebelled against Jesus. The Bible tells me in verse 19, and I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, all these kings of the earth, all the nations of the earth, all the leaders of the earth at the time, with their armies gathered to make war against him who was sitting on the horse and against his army. People are trying to come up with all forms of military equipment. Some of it is in preparation of that day. They don't even know, but there's coming a day when there's going to be a war. This is not a cosmic war somewhere in the air. This is a war here on the earth. I love verse 20. Almost as if before the war starts, it ends. And the beast was captured. And with it, the false prophet, who in its presence had done the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast. These two were thrown alive into the lake of fire that burns with sulfur. Instant judgment on the entities of darkness. People who promoted darkness. People who aligned themselves with the kingdom of darkness. Agents of Satan. All these people are going to be thrown into the lake of fire. The judgment of God is going to fall on the kingdom of darkness and all those who align with the kingdom of darkness. That's what the Bible is telling us. He is going to punish evil. Go with me to verse 20. Actually, verse 21 of 19. And the rest was slain by the sword that came from the mouth. In other words, he judged them. The sword speaks of judgment. He cleared them out. Let me put it. This war is happening here on earth. If you are alive at this time and had rebelled against Christ, you're going to probably be a part of this war. Probably. That's why you need to secure your life now. So that when that time comes, you will have been raptured. He's coming. And his coming will be like a thief in the night. I want to show you another aspect of judgment. I want to see how God is punishing evil, the entities of evil. Chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, holding in his hand the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the pit and shut it and sealed it over him so that he might not deceive the nations. He does that. Then Christ rules for 1,000 years, the Bible tells us, to show those who remain and are alive and are not yet the saints, because at this time of this war, believers will be with Christ Jesus. At the time of this war. Okay. There's a lot to say about the end times, but I'm just going to keep it short and brief. The time of this war. So Satan is bound. For 1,000 years, Christ is ruling with all Christians that trusted in him. And there will be some people who may not have died during the war, and they reproduce over 1,000 years. And the Bible says, if you go with me into chapter 7, that then Satan is released after 1,000 years, and he will come out and deceive the nations that are around again. This guy must have been boiling with anger for 1,000 years. Then he came and he actually deceived. Look, he came and he deceived the people whom Christ was ruling over. Not the saints. Not the saints. Those who had not died in that tribulation and had multiplied and all that stuff. And verse 9 says of 20, and when Satan had deceived them, they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of who? The saints. They came against the saints and the beloved city Jerusalem, but fire came down from heaven and consumed them, and the devil was thrown into the lake of what? Fire. The day is coming when this guy called Satan is going to pay. I recognize this is not an easy teaching for most of us to hear. But it's coming. The devil who has been tormenting us, who has been frustrating us, who has been afflicting us with all his agents, there's coming a day. I want to show you one more. In chapter 20, at the great white throne, after in verse 13, the sea gave up the dead, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in it. Verse 14, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And let me tell you, all entities of the kingdom of darkness will be crushed on the day of judgment. All entities, all wicked political systems, all wicked economic systems, all things that didn't align with God will be destroyed. So I am here to encourage the hearts of you who already believe. And if you don't believe, I encourage you to believe. You've suffered injustice. You've been tortured. You've been tormented. They have stolen your property. They have taken this from you. They have denied you a job in that. So injustice has been done to you. Maybe it's not been done to you, but you're tired of the pain and all these things. You're wondering, when will there come to an end to all the crazy madness in the world? There is coming a day, my brother. There is coming a day, my sister, when Christ will avenge. So I encourage you today, fight the good fight of faith. Don't give up your hope. Stay true to Jesus. He will revenge for everything done to you, against you. That's why the Lord says, vengeance is what? Mine. So if someone has done something against you, don't revenge. Be like Jesus, the Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Plead for the mercy of God, because when this day comes, my goodness. Hallelujah. The eternal judge will punish all evil and all that are aligned with evil. But the second thing the eternal judge will do, he will reward each person for their deeds. So he's coming and he's going to destroy all these systems of wickedness, all these powers of darkness. But at the same time, he's also going to judge you individually. I was reading something quickly after the first service, and there was a simple quote that says, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you what your neighbor did. Even you, he won't ask you, what did your wife do? Everyone is going to stand moja, alone. And he's going to ask you, what did you do? Matthew 25 and 31 gives us a big image of what that is. Verse 31 reads and says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungry, you fed me. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. A stranger, you welcomed me. Naked, you clothed me. Sick, you visited me. In prison, and you came to me. Christ is watching every deed we do. And let me begin by saying this. The sheep represent the righteous people of God. John tells us in chapter 10, that my sheep, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So the sheep are those who listen to Jesus, put their faith in Jesus, walk every day in obedience to Jesus, live every day in the fear of the Lord. The sheep are the righteous who have already believed. And Jesus tells us the reward for all those that trust in him is really eternal life. You inherit the kingdom of God. You become a part of the everlasting kingdom. You become a part of the kingdom that never fails. You become a part of a kingdom that can never be conquered. You become a prince in the kingdom of God. You become a princess. You know, in heaven, there's no male and female, so we will just go with, for our sake here, you'll be a prince and a princess. Brothers, let me say this to you. Christ is going to observe, by the Christians, Christ is going to judge you based on your works. Your works won't take you to heaven. No. This scripture is not about works taking you to heaven. You must have already believed as that sheep. And then your works will speak of how much you're rewarded in heaven. Jesus says, don't keep treasures here on earth. Keep them where? In heaven. The quality of your work determines the quality of the treasure you're storing in heaven. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us, Paul says, anyone who builds on a foundation other than this is false. And if you choose to build with stone and with grass and with wood, then on the day of judgment, fire will reveal it. What does that mean? Your motives. What motives do you have when you're doing the work of Christ? You're a Christian. What motives? What's your heart attitude? What's your heart attitude? Is it service? Is it love? How do you serve the Lord? Even when you go out to prison or to clothe the naked, do you announce it? Hey, look, my right hand is given. The Bible says that when you build with such wrong motives, wood and hay, when it goes through the fire, it will be burned. And for you, you will enter heaven by the skin of your teeth. You go read it. And if you're built with gold and silver, right motive, right attitude, right perspective, in honor, in fellowship, for the glory of God, the Bible says when it goes to the fire, it will not be burned, and you will receive a crown in glory. So brothers, sisters, watch how you build. Watch the quality of your work. Hallelujah. Verse 41, Matthew 25. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I already spoke about that earlier on. Goats represent people who are stubborn-hearted and rebellious. If you have ever taken care of goats or seen people taking care of goats, you know that they are very stubborn beasts. You try to pull it and it puts brakes. Have you ever seen them? You're pulling and it's resisting. So goats represent people that are stone-hearted to the gospel of Jesus. It speaks of a people that have refused to go in the way of truth. It speaks of a people that have refused to believe. It speaks of a people that have chosen that, yes, I may know the truth, but I'm still going to live contrary to what you have said. Romans says that even though they knew the truth of God's word, yet they refused to obey his word, knowing the judgment that is coming. You know the judgment, and I'm telling it to you. And you have to make a choice. You have to make a choice. One of the things I love about Heaven's Gates is that it reminds you and I that the choice for eternal life or death lies with you. God makes the opportunity for you to hear the gospel, and therefore in that opportunity of hearing the gospel, it is for you to respond to him. And the good news is in this, that you don't have to go to eternal fire or judgment, because Christ, the Son of Man, already paid the price for your redemption. So the non-believers and all those who rebel against God will be thrown into the lake of fire. My heart is for you, that you make a decision today. Moses told the children of Israel, I put before you blessing and curses. This day I tell you, choose what? Life. I tell you and put before you eternal life and eternal death. I tell you today, choose eternal life. When God created Adam and he gave him the command, do not eat, it was for Adam to choose life or to choose death. Unfortunately, he chose what? Death. You have the opportunity to correct that by choosing life. What is life? Faith in Jesus Christ. Everyone will account. There are things I will never see and never know about you. We talked about, say, Achan's secret sin. There are things you do alone in your quiet space. On that day of judgment, the Bible says everything will be revealed. Someone said there might be a big screen like this. And said, James, step forward. Pray. And your life of 44 years flashes in a second. Why? Make the choice today. Can we preach the gospel wherever we go? Make it a point. Let me say this to all of us that are seeking purpose or meaningful life. Ecclesiastes 12 and 13 says this. This is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God, obey his command, for this is the whole purpose of man's life. So if you're trying to find a purpose and a vision for life, fear God, obey his command. Period. His command is trust the Lord Jesus Christ with all your life, and also go out and preach the gospel of Jesus. There is no greater purpose than to live for the pleasure of God himself. Preach your community outreaches. Preach the gospel. Hallelujah. Invite the non-believer for Heaven's Gates. Invite that non-believer to church. Invite that non-believer for yourself. Invite that non-believer to be a part of these activities where their hearts can be drawn over to Jesus, even as you preach to them. Because there is coming a day where the sheep will be separated from the goats. And I pray that all of us will be found to be sheep on that day. It brings me to the final thing that Jesus is going to do as the eternal judge. I love this one. Jesus will make all things new. Remember, he's the judge. Revelation 21 reads and says in verse 1, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Jesus is not going to renovate the earth we are on. He's not going to remodel it. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." We are going to be brought into a world which is incorruptible. No more potholes. No more drought and famine. No more pain and sorrow. None. Verse 6 says, we continue and says, he also said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." You can trust Jesus. It is done. Almost like what he said earlier on, it is finished. The end of the matter has been decided. "I am the Alpha, the Omega, beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment." If you want to have life and eternal life, come to Jesus. If you want to be a part of the new world and the new heaven, come to Jesus. Listen to what it says in verse 22. "And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord and the Almighty and the Lamb." That verse triggered me this morning as I thought. I said, first, wait a minute. There will be no temple. So this is a temple, technically. Okay? Built by human hands. But the Bible is saying in that city, there will be no what? And who is the temple? God and the Lamb. So I thought to myself, first, wait. When we go up to worship, so to speak, we're not going to enter into a building. We will be in God himself. God will no longer be in you. You will be in God. Your life will be immersed in God. Your life will be consumed by God. He will be with you, not somewhere in deep heaven. You will be in the deep heaven with God himself. He is going to make all things new. Wow. Let me end this. "And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb." Jesus, the eternal judge, is the light as well of the eternal heaven. It says here, I'm going to skip to verse 27. "But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life." I ask you the question. Is your name written in the Lamb's book of life? Because the eternal judge will reward all those who trust in Jesus with eternal life. That same eternal judge will repay all those who rebelled against him with eternal death. But you have a choice today to put your name in the Lamb's book of life by turning to faith in Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@wototochurch.com. Hey,